Good morning. And welcome to each and every one. And this morning, as you see, there is a substitute. I was going to tell you what a substitute is, but maybe some other time. Is this no good?
It's green there, Andrew.
All right. The sign outside says, signs, somewhere in the Psalms. And this is so fitting. I've chosen to speak on Psalm 92. And it fits right into the season of the year. Planting and reaping, a joyful occasion. I have planted, when we moved here 2 years ago, I planted an apple tree. That apple tree was supposed to bear 4 or 5 different kinds of apples. Some already are ripe, others are still on the way. And then this year I planted 2 cherry trees. And I don't know what I did wrong, but some leaf turned yellow after I planted it. And then I thought, well, we have in the backyard, the lower part, just grass. And I thought, well, what good is the grass? So I dug it up and I planted potatoes. I haven't harvested any. But the psalm here speaks, and I'm taking the thought this morning out of verses 13 and 14, it speaks about being planted and then also bearing fruit. That means the harvest time. But the psalm begins in the first 5 verses with a praise to God. And we like to look at these 5 verses because it says here, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, O Most High. It is good to thank the Lord. Do you agree? It is good to praise the Lord. Now, in these 5 verses, it tells me when and how and why. When you have your Bibles open and you look right at the heading, it says, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It's so fitting then that we come together on Sunday morning and sing praises to the Lord, which we just have done. And it's good to bring not only our prayer time to the Lord, but also praise time. But the psalmist here goes on to say not only the song for the Sabbath day, but he says to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every evening. To declare his loving kindness in the morning, it's also good, isn't it? And for all the years that daily bread was available, and I cannot remember that we have not done, our morning after breakfast is always the reading of the daily bread. And I recommend it to you to take one, a copy home, to declare the loving kindness in the morning. I know we're very busy, we get up and a lot of things we have to do. But folks, if we miss the morning, for the Lord knows what the day will be like. We don't. And the day could be totally different than when we get up and plan. So it's good to read. And if you don't have much time, if you read just the verse and ask yourself What does it have to do with me today? I remember when we came to Canada on December 1st, 1953, we arrived in Oxbow, Saskatchewan at 9 o'clock in the evening, and Sam didn't know that we had arrived, but he was phoned and he picked us up. We were out on a farm 10 miles out of Oxbow. But the next morning, Sam was still single. He was 50 years of age. He had made some porridge the way the farmers make it. And we gathered around the kitchen table. I still have a picture of it. Sam and his dad, and my dad, mom, my sister, myself. And Sam sang, "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer." Then he read some scriptures, and we all knelt down around the kitchen table. Sam prayed in English, and we, of course, prayed in German. That was our first experience arriving in Canada. It is good to praise the Lord for his faithfulness every evening, 7 days a week. And we have the custom, Crystal and I, that we read consecutively. We start in Genesis 1 and read right through one translation. And when we come to the end, we pick up another translation. And at one time, we even read through the children's Bible again. It is good to praise his faithfulness every evening. Folks, it is good to thank the Lord. It is good in the morning. It is good in the evening. And if it is so, can we encourage each other this morning to do it? Now it tells us in verse 3 how to do it. It says, on an instrument, and I'm using the New King James, of 10 strings on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sounds. I remember as a student at Prairie for 4 years, I played the big double B flat tuba in the big Prairie Orchestra. And it was a joy. And afterwards, I took over and led the school brass band until I graduated, and then I led our church brass band. Folks, it says to sing harmonious with the accompaniment of instruments. Is that good? Yeah? Well, I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the Lord will on a certain day, in a certain moment, send the archangel to wake up the faithful ones that have sleep in the graves. And he tells them to take the trumpet along. And when he will blow the trumpet, all those that died in Christ will hear it and wake up. So there are harps and trumpets and music instruments also in heaven. Because in Revelation 5, we read when the saints will march in, the 24 elders will play the prelude, and then the saints will sing the new song, Song of Redemption. Thou hast redeemed us out of every tongue and nation. It's good. It's good if we start singing down here. Now, the psalmist says it is good to give thanks, it is good to praise, but in verse 4 and 5 we're told for what? And it says here, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. What kind of works? What kind of works? What are we to sing about? Is it about the creation? Do you know, folks, that God in his might, and we sing in one chorus, he can move the mountains. He could, but he never did. The mountains are still all there where he made them. He never moved any one of them, but he could. To sing about this creation, you know, that's for God, there was nothing. He just spoke a word and this whole world was there. There was dark, and he spoke another word, let there be light, and there was the sun. But then the night was still dark, so it needed the moon, and God spoke another word, and there it was. And when God made all this world in 6 days, and to speculate what that means, 6 days, and there's still speculation, but God made everything as he spoke, and there it was. But folks, when man has sinned, God sent his son, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. And it took him 33 years to bring about salvation, folks. 33 years. He walked up and down the countryside. And finally, when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt down and he prayed, and John recorded it for us. In John 17, verse 4, it says, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And folks, that's the song. The hymn writer says in one of the songs in our hymn book, no other song have I to sing but Jesus. No other theme than that of Calvary. What are the songs? We are here on Sunday, we sing all the songs. But what about on Monday? What do we sing on Monday? On Tuesday? No other song have I to sing but Jesus. And it says here what I am singing about. For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. What kind? What works? The work of salvation. That's the work that makes glad. That's the work that gives victory. And that's the work that is so great to sing about. Is that good? Now it says here that we are planted. That is the work. Planted by the planter. And the Lord says in Jeremiah 2, verse 21, I have planted you. He's saying that to Israel. I have planted you, a noble vine, a seed of high quality. In John 12, 24, Jesus is saying, unless the seed fall into the ground and die, otherwise it abides alone, but it will bring forth fruit. And I think when I planted the potatoes, and sometime we find, and those are farmers, know that sometimes you find the old shriveled potatoes still in the ground. And Jesus said, unless the seed fall into the ground. Before I planted, I read, excuse me. I read the instructions because I'm really not a farmer. But it all says on the instructions to plant to put it into the ground. And it tells me how deep in the ground that all this is, all the what comes out of the pot is covered. And I did that. But still, some leaves turned yellow. I must have made a mistake. But folks, what it tells here is not planting vegetables in a garden, but it talks here in the psalm that you are planted. And let's look at that. What is the process of planting? In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5, now note that some, and I checked it up in the Greek, it says a little different than in your Bible. Do you not know that as many of us that are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be likeness of his resurrection. We have been planted in the likeness the way Jesus was when he died and he was buried and rose again. Let me ask you this morning, friends, have you thus been planted? For we have been planted that way. There was a grave, and Jesus went into it, but he came out of it. Have you been thus planted? The planter is Jesus. And now it says here, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree shall, for those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. I remember when I was certain my first church in Prince Rupert, I was still single. But then we're getting married, and I thought I need to buy some furniture before my wife or my bride comes. So I was going to buy some used furniture. I visited a home, and the lady says, we're selling and moving. We don't want to put our roots down. Now here we read that those who are planted should also put their roots down, shouldn't they? Did God have any influence in the way he led you to bring you here and to Prince George and to bring you to this church? Did God have anything to do with it? Or did you just decide it for whatever reason, and here you are? Now in Colossians chapter 2, and it gives us about the planting. And I'll read the verses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. And as therefore we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. Planted and rooted. All the work of the planter. But you know what? It says he has been planted in the house of the Lord. He has been planting people in the house of the Lord. And the plants cannot wander off, can they? They can just wither and die. But it's the Lord that leads in various circumstances and led you to be here this morning. Now, what is the progress that the Bible speaks about? The progress is this: they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now notice that the house is one, but the courts are many. In the temple, there were outer court and inner court, and there were court for the Levites. We don't have the courts, but we have departments. And what it says here, they shall flourish in the courts of the house. As you're willing to be part in any department of the church, you shall flourish doing so. Does that make sense? As God has led you, He has a job for you to do, and by so doing, you shall flourish. And in verse 12, it says, you shall flourish like a palm tree. I don't know much about trees, but I looked up in Webster's dictionary about palm trees, and he makes the reference there that the fresh palm leaves were used to welcome victors. That reminded me of Palm Sunday, didn't it? They shall flourish in the courts like a palm tree, welcoming the victor that will give you victory as you serve him. And they shall grow like a cedar. Well, folks here that you've lived here longer than I have, you probably know more about cedar trees than I do, because there are lots of them around. But I remember when I was still in Calgary that around Vancouver there are cedar shake mills. You know what that is? They cut up the cedar into pieces, I don't know, that long, and they chop it up and they ship it to California. And there they use it for, instead of shingles, but now it has to be treated because of a lot of fire. And so the cedar will protect you from whatever comes from the top, but also if you put a cedar into the ground, it will outlast any other wood. So for whatever comes your way from above or beneath, you grow like a cedar in the house of the Lord. And then it says here, and you still will bear fruit in old age. Well, this is why I guess our pastor didn't preach on Psalm 92, because it talks about old age, but he isn't there yet. But it's good for the rest of us. I see some seniors around of my age. They still shall bear fruit. In John 15, Jesus said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? I told you that on that one tree, and there's four kinds of apples on that one tree. Some were ripe and some are not yet. But there is fruit in two different places. First of all, the fruit here, and then the fruit there. The fruit here, we read in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And it says, when you're in the house of the Lord, and even into old age, you will bear fruit, and that fruit which the Holy Spirit will produce. A lot of times we have the excuse, oh, I couldn't help it. Sometimes we say what we shouldn't or do. Well, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. And so there is that kind of a fruit that he produces even into old age right here. I wish Solomon would have known that, because in old age he had sort of backslidden. But folks, whether we're young or even still into old age, and some have just stumbled, and even Abraham stumbled in old age when he told Abimelech something that wasn't quite the truth. They shall bear fruit. And in here, an Apostle Paul writing to the Romans in the first chapter, in verse 13, it says, I have longed to come, I've longed to come to you that I might have some fruit among you. That is, I would like to come and see some fruit in the ministry. Isn't that, brother? This is why the Lord plants people different places. And we, Crystal and I, have been transplanted. Folks, that is the time for we rejoice in the planting and rejoice in the reaping. And back to the first verses. It is good to give thanks. It is good to give to give thanks. Well, my voice is letting. It is good to give thanks for what the Lord has done, for the work that he has done in your life and mine. Is it good? And then it says, I cannot help but sing about it, for what he has done, because he says, he hath made me glad through the works that he's done over the years in your life and mine. Then comes the reaping and the rejoicing. A hymn writer has put it this way in the chorus, oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when I shall see his face. Until then, folks, go on planting, rejoicing, reaping. Now the psalm ends not with a benediction, but with a declaration. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. And we have sung this morning, on the solid rock I stand. That is the declaration. Folks, what is that declaration that you could make this morning? Could you stand and say, I declare that the Lord is good and he is my rock? He is good. He is upright. And this is the message of Psalm 92. He has planted you to bear fruit. Harvest is coming. And until then, let's be busy. Amen. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, each one of us has been called. And the day is still there. There's still time. Even though sometimes it seems that's the 11th hour, help us to be fruitful wherever you have planted us on Sunday during the week, that we might be those that serve you with the gladness. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts, in this life of this church, and oh, God, We want to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.